Correct, yeah. But more important is what is it that you want? If you want just that, then you can go and find out. Understand or not? But if you really want to seek the truth, means to develop the understanding of the teaching so that your mind can be free, then it's a different thing. Then the search is for the teaching. Understand or not? Then if you search for teaching, what sect also? Not important as well. I give you an example, you know. It's just like you want to study. You want to go to a school. Then they say, oh, that school is very good. This school is very good. Ultimately, it's not the school, understand? It's you, understand? Well, within the same school, there are good students, there are lousy students, understand? And you cannot blame, well, my parents sent me to that school, that's why I don't do well. If you had sent me to those school, I would have done very well. But there are people who go to this school, also did very well, understand? Like I went to a very lousy school, but I did very well. So it's not the teacher, it's not the school, it's you, understand? End of the day, it's always you, the individual. If you don't study hard, if you don't know what you are doing there, then you wasted your time there. The best school also got people fail, understand? Some of the rich people went to the best school, but they never make use of that school, understand? Not only that, because their focus is different, they take things for granted. But for those who are poor, they know they have to succeed. Even lousy school, rural school, like I came from a very rural place, a rural school, and I did very well. Why? Because I see the importance of education. I see the importance of excelling in it so that I can bring forth the condition for me to have better life so that my family can come out of the poverty cycle. So the individual is most important. Understand? So whatever that sect, the religion, you treat them as like various school for you to study. Understand? If you are clear about what you want, any school also can bring about the condition for you to study well. So that will cut away a lot of so-called unnecessary perception of, wow, that sect is no good, this sect is good. Then you got all this misunderstanding. Then it lead to what? Argument. It lead to all the difference in views and opinion. Then your focus is not on cultivation anymore. Your focus is on right and wrong. Then you start to have doubt. Understand? Wow, whether to join them or not to join them. Then, like her case, the children, the daughter joined them. So, what are you going to do as a parent? So when you are not clear, then you have this type of problem. Like our brother just now mentioned, problem of life is very real. He heard my talk. Because when you understand that problems of life comes about because we do not have the wisdom, we perceive them with negativity, then it becomes a problem. If you don't perceive it negativity, think it's just the way it is. There is no problem in this world. But people will not agree with you. Hey, got such thing as no problem. Problem is everywhere. Correct. That statement is true. But if you have wisdom, you will inquire deep. Why do people call it problem? Because it is disturbing them. And they perceive it with fear, with negativity. That's why they say, my problem. Like health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, career problem, and all the various relationship problems that arise in life. So if you perceive them with negativity and fear, then the problem is real, honest or not, because it can haunt you. It can create suffering in you. But if you accept them for what they are, then confront them with understanding and move, then it's no more a problem. And if you perceive them with wholesomeness, it can turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Without this situation, I will not go into the teaching, I will not go into the Dhamma, I will not understand all this. But because I encountered this so-called problem, then I went into the teaching. Then I realized that there is a whole lot of beautiful teaching down there, which humanity never realized. So if your life is too good, you never want to understand religion. But because you have a situation, that's why you move into it. Then when you understand the teaching, you realize a blessing in this life. And then you say, luckily I went through all those things. It paved the way for me to have the condition to understand all this. And now that I understand, my life changed. I can free my mind from all these so-called problems of life. And then you realize not only those problems, you can be free from all problems, so-called problems. And that is the beauty of this teaching. This teaching of Lord Buddha is very unique. That's why it is called enlightenment. You can become enlightened. Your mind can be liberated. We're still early. We got another 8 minutes. So in the meantime, you got any question you can ask, then we can maybe discuss it. For you, what's your name?
Karen.
What's your name? Oh, Lee Van Hock. Okay. So both of them are new, but it's okay, because when you are completely new, if you don't have any meditation experience, it's even easier to learn. Then if you read up a little bit about the teaching, the Orange Copy is a very good book. The Buddha's Ancient Path, the Four Noble Truths are all there. So this so-called English translation by Venerable Piyadasi is very good, quite authentic, about 80% accuracy. Then after that, when you want to understand meditation, you read my notes. This email compilation are a series of emails that I wrote to people. And the Dhamma friends say they were so good, so they tell me, why not we compile it so that it can be useful for people. So I took out only the essential email that are relevant. So we compile it, I think in the year 2007, 6 years ago. Then the Kayanamita actually donated for the printing. So you have this copy free. So you go back and read through the introduction, everything. Yeah, sadhu. It's all about the meditation, the various aspects of it. That's why I put the title as Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, a compilation of email written by me to the various Buddhist group and Dhamma friends. Maybe I make use of that time to brief Karen and Mr. Lee. Okay. What we are doing here is we are here to develop a type of meditation that they call Vipassana meditation. Vipassana is a Pali word. It has two words. Vipassana. V stands for the three characteristics of nature. You heard of this impermanent, suffering, state and non-self? Good. If you heard of this, then easier. These three universal characteristics are very important. According to the Buddha, it is a universal characteristic common to all phenomena in this whole universe. Whatever phenomena that you come to perceive through your mind, they have these three universal characteristics. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. So vipassana is to insight into these three characteristics. So we will have to inquire, why are we trying to develop this type of meditation that will lead to insight into these three universal characteristics? Because according to the Buddha, the moment you are able to insight into these three universal characteristics, it will awaken you in you a type of wisdom that is very profound, very, very profound. Then you will come to understand very clearly what is this so-called human being all about. The physical body, which is the form part, and the mind, which is the consciousness part. So the form and the mind, which is what you are as a human being, you need to clearly understand that it is not you. That's why the Buddha said, it is anatta, non-self. Then it is conditioned arising, causal phenomena. That's why it's impermanent. If you cling, attach and hold, suffering is the result. So that is the key to this style of meditation. So the word vipassana is very simple. To develop a type of meditation that will allow you to insight into the three characteristics of nature. Then we have to move on from there. We got two sessions. First session is instruction, like what I do now, explaining to you what this meditation is all about, then how you can develop it, then followed by instruction to train your mind to develop this ability to have a meditative mind that will allow you to insight into the characteristics of nature so that you can have the wisdom to understand clearly the teaching that the Buddha is trying to share with you. Then second session is reporting, followed by question and answer, Q&A session. You can report your meditation, then after that, you can ask questions. Then we will discuss it, we will help you to understand. So that is a summary of what we do here. Then before we start, another 3 minutes, you look at the whiteboard. There are some very essential teachings that is listed there. On the left hand side, you see the 5 mental hindrances. These are very powerful hindrances. The Buddha say, human being's mind, you are not able to become peaceful is because there are these 5 mental hindrances that hinders you from entering the meditative state of peace and calmness. So because of this hindrance, you cannot be peaceful. You cannot develop the calm and tranquil mind to meditate. Then the other opposite 5 is called spiritual faculties. These are the essential 5 that you must cultivate. The moment you have these 5, the hindrance will be gone. So actually you don't have to fight the hindrance. You only need to cultivate the spiritual faculty. And this spiritual faculty comes from our puja. The first one is sadha, faith. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Followed by virya, or spiritual zeal, or tenacity. When you develop this strong faith in the Buddha through understanding who he is and how special he is, because he is a fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. So because of that, you have this very strong respect and gratitude towards him, and your faith towards him becomes very stable, very, very strong. Then you determine to cultivate his teaching. And when you do that, the spiritual zeal, virya, will arise. There's a type of spiritual zeal, tenacity to walk the path, to follow his teaching. Then the third spiritual faculty that you need to cultivate is called sati, or mindfulness. And this one you need to learn. This is what you are here to train your mind to do. To develop this ability to be aware, mindful. When you pay respect to Lord Buddha, if your body and mind move as one without thought, that is mindfulness. Mindfulness is just an awareness before the knowing. So sati is very important. Sati is mindfulness. After you have trained your mind to be quiet, peaceful and silent, the moment is silent, you are already aware because there is no thought. Then when you are silent and you can maintain that state of silence, then it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is a collected mind, unwavering mind. The mind that is very collected, unwavering, means in a state of stability. They call samadhi. So when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are very clearly, without the distraction from your thought process. And because of that, you could understand what is going on. And the understanding is what wisdom is all about. So when there is sati and samadhi, it will lead to wisdom. That's why the five spiritual faculties will be there. Okay, we will start the class so that you will learn the subsequent explanation later. Okay, what we do is we will pay respect to Lord Buddha first. You compose your mind to develop the very strong faith, sadha in him, through recalling to mind the Buddha Rupang or image at the back is for you to recall to mind. But this is not Lord Buddha. This is for you to recall to mind his great perfection, his great virtue, his great wisdom. He is a fully enlightened one. So because of that, he is perfect in wisdom and virtue. So when you have that faith, your mind will be very calm, very composed. Then with that composed and calm mind, you develop the virya, the spiritual zeal to cultivate, to understand his teaching. And then you start to pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Means compose your mind, body and mind, move as one. In great reverential salutation means you pay respect to gratitude and what they call great respect for Lord Buddha three times. Then after that, we will start the puja. We will start the chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. The meaning is homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one and the full enlightened one. So when you chant this, it will strengthen your faith. Then at the same time, the merits that come with it for chanting the salutation, where you salute the Buddha for his unique qualities. Because he is the blessed one, the worthy one and the fully enlightened one. The three of the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Blessed is because as a Buddha, he is also fully enlightened. So he is blessed with wisdom and virtue. Then the worthy one is because he is fully enlightened, he is worthy of respect. He is worthy of offering. He is worthy of hospitality and all those things. And the field of merits that come with it is limitless. If you do it with a what they call understanding mind. Then after the salutation, we will take refuge with the three refuges. The triple gem, Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. We chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, followed by Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Then we renew our five precepts. Then after that, we rejoice by saying sadhu, sadhu, sadhu three times. Then after that again, we pay respect to Lord Buddha. So this pre-puja is very useful to develop the first three spiritual faculties. Okay, we'll do it now. Compose your mind, develop the sadha, the faith and confidence in the Buddha. Then recall to mind all of his great wisdom, great loving kindness and compassion. Then you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Just relax yourself, body and mind, completely relax. No need to think of anything. You are here to develop the meditation, means to train your mind to be peaceful, to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, which is the meditative state or meditative mind. So that you can develop the meditation to develop the wisdom needed for you to understand the teaching clearly. Okay, since tonight there are two new persons, I will have to describe a little bit about the understanding of meditation before we continue with the sitting. So the instruction will take normally about 20 minutes or maybe 25 minutes. Then after that, we will have about another 20 minutes, 15 or 20 minutes of further sitting or meditation. Okay, if you look at the, up there, the banner, benefits of meditation. This is to help new people. This type of meditation is very unique. Not only it can make you enlightened, develop the wisdom needed to understand the teaching. It can also have these six very important benefits that come along. First one is, the moment you train your mind to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness or mindfulness, the mind become peaceful, anasana. That's like the first very unique benefit of meditation is inner peace. So nowadays, as we all know, peace is very difficult to come by, especially in your career life. Most of you are very hectic, very busy, maybe working, running around, fulfilling your duties, your errand, and all those things. So to have a moment of peace is not easy. Then when you are in the midst of life, when you encounter situations that make you unhappy or give rise to worry, anxiety, fear, or so-called problems, then you realize if only you can calm yourself down and make yourself peaceful, that will be very useful. But because you haven't trained your mind, you haven't done meditation, so you are not able to. So that fear, the worry, the restlessness sometimes can be very, very tormenting. Then you know when you have fear, the energy field is very negative. Your immune system will go down. That's why you become stressed out. Then disease set in, especially cancer and all those things. So inner peace is very useful to overcome all this negative tendency. Then inner peace can follow to develop the inner well-being. When you have inner peace, when your mind is calm and peaceful, you can radiate love, well-being to yourself, to others. So when you radiate that type of loving-kindness energy, like wishing yourself well and happy, until each and every cell within your body and mind, your entire being is so peaceful, so calm, and so full of well-being and happiness, then the cell like recuperate, understand? Where this energy is very positive. This positive energy boosts your immune system, make you feel good, and it can help overcome all of your fear, your worry, your unhappiness, your anxiety, your sadness. Suddenly this inner peace and inner well-being bring about a lot of joy, a lot of happiness in you. So these two benefits can develop fantastic mind state that follow. You will experience piti, a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, leading to sukha, which is bliss. Then the tranquility or stillness of mind. So when your mind has this ability to be still, quiet, peaceful, and very tranquil, you will have the third benefit, inner clarity. The mind will have more clarity because it's no longer clouded by thoughts, by worry, by anxiety, by all the negative energy field. So that clarity of mind, together with the inner peace and inner well-being, will allow you to see things clearly. Then you can make better decisions in life. Then you can also have clarity of mind to enable you to resolve all of your problems more efficiently. And you will have also the clarity of mind to do things very well. That's why it will follow by what they call wisdom. Wisdom is the fourth benefit. When you have clarity, you understand clearly, then you have wisdom. For meditation, it's even more potent. When your mind develops that tranquility and stillness, the mindfulness and the samadhi, sati and samadhi, then we can see things as they are clearly without the distortion created by mind, without the conditioning from your views and opinion. It will lead to the direct seeing, or they call insight into characteristics of nature. And this can bring forth wisdom. Then of course the fifth benefit is you can have better sleep. After that meditation, your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very calm. So with the inner peace, inner well-being, and what they call the joy that you have, your mind becomes very tranquil, very peaceful, very still, very quiet. You can sleep very well. Then the last benefit is, if you study, use that mind to study, you will study better. If you use the mind to solve problem, you will have the clarity to make better decision. If you use that mind to do your work, you will be able to work more efficiently. Yeah. Or if you use that mind for whatever purpose, it will become very efficient and very, very, what they call, beautiful. Means that is a mind that can help you learn things, become expert in whatever you want to do. So these six types of benefits are very useful for living, for your career, for your study, or whatever you want to make use of it for your daily life. So now that you know the benefits, you have to determine that this is something that is useful for you. So meditation is not just about becoming enlightened alone. You need this benefit to help you to overcome most of your life situation and problem. Especially health problem, problems of life that has a lot of what they call suffering involved. Fear, worry, anxiety, and all those things. So now I will come to the instruction to meditate. This mind that is not peaceful is because, like I explained just now, there are five things that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. The first two, the Buddha says, is sensual desire and ill will. As a human being, we have five physical senses and we have one mind. So we call it the sixth sendor. And this sixth sendor is capable of consciousness. It can make us conscious of what we see through the eye, what we hear through the ear, what we smell through our nose, what we taste through our tongue, and what we tactily feel through our body, and what we think through our mind. So every moment of sense experience, the Buddha said, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactily feel something or think, the tendency is you tend to react to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. That reaction is either positive or negative. If you like that sense experience, then you are drawn towards it. Means sensual desire. You have the desire for that sense experience. But if something you don't like, or very fearful type of vision, or somebody scold you or abuse you, so you don't like to listen to that type of consciousness, you develop aversion, ill will, unhappiness, fear, worry, anxiety inside your mind. So this positive and negative duality, or what they call the two sides of your reaction to sense experience, will trigger these first two mental hindrances. Then your mind that is preoccupied with the like and dislike of pleasant and unpleasant sense experience is agitated, disturbed by it. Because your mind, you can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware, or you are lost in thought. So when you react, you get lost in the two duality. Your mind is preoccupied with that sense experience, whether it's a sensual desire or you will. Then you start to think and get yourself entangled. That's how you develop this habitual tendency. Throughout the day, you have a lot of this sensual desire and you will, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant, your fear, worry, anxiety. All this, if you do it so often until it becomes a habit, they call it habitual tendency. That's why you are never peaceful. Because throughout the day, the hindrances are there. It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why these two are very powerful. Then the fourth one is restlessness of mind. Your mind develops restlessness is because you don't know how to attend to your daily life problems. You tend to have what they call fear, worry, anxiety, and what they call unhappiness when things don't go your way, when you perceive it as a problem. Like I explained earlier, health problem, career problem, financial problem, relationship problem, and all the other related problems. In-law problem, neighbor problem, children's problem, your own problem. So all this leads to the restless mind, the mind that constantly worry and worry. So when you have a lot of worry, fear and anxiety, you are not peaceful. Your mind becomes like restless. So this is a very, very real hindrance. So if you keep your precept, you don't violate your precept, you don't do wrong thing, then this hindrance will be less. Then the last one is doubt. When you are not sure of the teaching, when you are not sure why life is like that, you tend to have a lot of doubt. Then you delude the ego and believe what people say. You go to the feng shui master, you go to the medium, you go and seek all those advice, but you forgot the true teaching, which is the Buddha Dhamma. He said your life is completely independent of all those things. Those things has its purpose, but they only contribute very little to your life. The most powerful contributing factor to your life is your karma, law of karma. Where the Buddha said, each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, head of our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. Nothing else affects your life except karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you go and do all those feng shui, it's all temporary, understand? Even you go and ask the medium, all these fixes are not necessarily a fix. At most, it's just temporary measure. Give you confidence and faith. But after a while, you get back into trouble because it's not a permanent fix. The third one is sloth and torpor, sleepiness of mind, the Buddha said. When you don't see the importance of this meditation, when you don't understand its usefulness, it's just like when you attend a lecture that you don't understand is important, then you cannot pay attention, you become sleepy. So meditation is the same. You come, you don't know what you are doing, and you don't see the importance of it. You feel so sleepy. Then while you meditate, your thought, your mind will talk to you. Why am I so stupid coming here to torture myself? I might as well relax at home, watch TV, have a cup of coffee, enjoy life. So these are the distractions that come, understand? But it is part and parcel of meditation. The Buddha said this five hindrances, you have to see them, experience them. Then only you know that they are hindrance. Then this will make you heedless. It will cause your suffering. So in order not to be heedless, in order to overcome all these hindrances, the Buddha said, you cultivate the spiritual faculty. That's why just now we already did Sadha, Virya. We pay respect. We already developed some form of mindfulness. And now with this calm mind, I will give you the instruction to meditate. So our instruction is to help you decondition your heedless thinking so that all this heedless thinking born of the five hindrances can be reversed. You can decondition this habitual tendency so that I will teach you a technique where you just feel. They call it the mind sweeping method, where you just feel and relax. You don't think anymore. Then after that, I will teach you how to meditate, how to train your mind to anchor it to an object of meditation so that you can stabilize that mindfulness to develop the stability of mind to understand the teaching and to develop the fourth spiritual faculty called Samadhi. So when you have Sati and Samadhi, you can meditate very well. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who are new, I will off the light. Then I will give you the instruction. You just relax your body and mind. Make sure you have a very stable posture. If you can sit, it will be better. Then you check your backbone. Try to have a straight back. Then after that, you relax body and mind, completely relax. Then you close your eye. Then you maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. You just feel your forehead, feel. Don't think, just feel. You can detect any tension, any stress within. You just relax, relax, and relax. The relaxation is very important because when you just feel and relax, you don't think. You just feel any stress, any tension, any tightness, you just relax it and feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle, do the same. Feel every strain of your eye muscle, soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle, do the same. Relax every part of your facial muscle. In order to help you do it, you can actually visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile, visualizing yourself radiating a radiant smile. Allow the smile, the radiant smile, to manifest from your mind, from your heart. When you can do that, there's a lot of joy. And when you can do that, you naturally relax. So your facial muscle will naturally relax. But when you radiate a radiant smile, the facial muscle that acted out to radiate the smile will be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. Then after that, you radiate loving kindness to yourself by following what I recite. You can start off with, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. So when you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your body and your mind. Then be well and happy. When you recite well and happy, you must feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells within your body and your mind, your entire being. Then you continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel your body and mind be free from all suffering. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind of mine too be free of all danger and harm. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same loving kindness to your loved one, somebody you have affection for. It can be your parents, your spouse, your children, or your good friend, or your brothers and sisters, or somebody very close to you. May my loved ones do be well and happy, well and happy. Read it from your heart sincerely to them, wishing them well-being and happiness. May my loved ones do be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all do be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta loving kindness to all Dhamma friends and beings within this vicinity of Suyan's house. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all physical and mental suffering. May their mind to be always at peace. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the entire Subhangjaya, all our Kayanamitas, and all beings within the entire state of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our planet, Mother Earth, our solar system, then our Milky Way, followed by the galaxy, then the entire universe. May all beings within the entire universe be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you come back to your facial muscle. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. So with that state of mind, you feel your facial muscle again relax every part. Then you feel your neck relax, shoulder relax, head back to shoulder relax. Then you move your attention to your heart or your chest area. Silence your mind and just feel, don't think, feel. You can detect any heartbeat or any vibration. Just silence your mind and stay there. If you are new, if you can't, it's okay. You just relax every part, just like you feel your forehead and relax. Now you feel your heart, relax every part. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel, relax again. Don't think. Then you move it to your abdomen. Feel. Relax every part. Your buttock, do the same. Feel. Relax every part. Your leg, feel. Relax every part. Then you can reverse all this entire process, the mind sweeping method. From your leg, relax. Buttock, feel and relax. Abdomen, do the same. Feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart, feel, relax. Then your shoulder, head, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, feel and relax every part. Then you feel your eye muscle, relax every part. Then your forehead, do the same, relax every part. If you need to do this mind sweeping method for another cycle, you can. It's up to you. no hard and fast rule. It's all up to you. But if you feel that you are already more peaceful, more calm, then you want to train this mind to stabilize the mindfulness, then you can cultivate what the Buddha teach, Anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. It's very easy to do. It's just like you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing. You just maintain attention in front of your breathing, your nostril there, where the breath goes in and out. You just silent your mind. Just feel, like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Yeah. Then like the Buddha say, after a while, breathing in, you are aware. The mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. The meaning is, the breath and the mind move as one without thought. That is Anapanasati. Yeah. Initially, it's not easy because you are new. You have not trained. So what you can do is, you try to be aware of this breathing in and out. Yeah? Every time it wanders off, you just patiently and silently bring this attention back to the breathing. Yeah? You have to train, keep on repeating this training. After a while, the Anapanasati will stabilize. Yeah? Then you will realize that you are more and more with the breathing. Then when you can do that, suddenly, your breathing will become very clear to you. Then your mind that is without thought, aware of this in and out breath, will develop Anapanasati. Yeah. So, initially, expect the mind to wander off many, many, many times. But never mind. Patiently bring it back. Mm. So, you only need to relax your mind. Maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Then allow this awareness to be aware of the breathing. Yeah. Then after that, you just silence your mind completely. Yeah. Then when your Anapanasati develop, the mind become peaceful, the mind become tranquil. Then there is a type of spiritual joy that we call piti. It will arise. Yeah. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, born of mind that is trained, that is in full sati or mindfulness. When you are mindful and without thought, the mind becomes very peaceful on its own. So Anapanasati will lead to piti. Then you continue to relax and just silence your mind and just aware. This piti will become more and more refined, until it becomes very, very blissful. Yeah. They call sukha. Mm. So sukha is a very blissful state, very refined state of piti. Yeah. Then when you have piti, you continue to relax and silent and just aware. This piti leading to sukha will bring about a lot of inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Yeah. Then you continue to just relax and silent your mind until finally the breathing become like very subtle. Then it's like no more breathing. Mm. And during that state, this may take a while. Eh? It is not immediate. But when you already quite stable in your meditation of Anapanasati, then this thing can happen after some time of training your mind. Then when it happens, you just allow the mind to be just silent, everything. Don't do anything. Then allow that silent mind to be. Then later on, this Anapanasati will become like more and more refined until it's so subtle, so quiet, so still. And then you develop what they call pasati. Pasati is a still mind, silent mind, tranquility of mind. The mind like no movement, complete silence. silent and still. And this mind, you can stabilize it. It is called the meditative mind, the silent mind, that is fully aware. During that time, the mindfulness or the awareness is already very stable, very refined. When you can reach this level of refinement, then you realize the mind is in sati. The mind actually technically don't need any object of meditation to become peaceful, to become silent, to become tranquil, to become still. So inner awareness, born of the silent mind, takes effect. During that time, if you just apply that mind to any part within your body, like your subtle breathing, you will start to breathe again. Like you can detect the subtle breathing as if the breathing come back. But it is not to say your breathing has become more powerful or more pronounced. It's your mindfulness that has become more refined. You are able to detect that very, very fine breathing, subtle breathing. Then when you can do that, you just silence your mind and allow it to be. Then the awareness is very sharp. Then any of the sense door, six sense door, upon contact, how consciousness come to be, then how it condition you to react against the, how your aggregate of mind manifest, you will see them clearly within your meditation. So this is the silent mind that can develop wisdom. This is the silent mind that can meditate. Then anywhere you put this mind, it like very clear, magnified. If you move it down to your heart, you can feel your heartbeat very clearly without a stethoscope. All these are possible. Then you continue to silent, relax, and just aware. I will allow you to continue your training of the mind, develop the meditation. Then in about 15 minutes, I will ring the bell. Then after that, we can have our second session. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Yeah? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being that you have developed. Yeah? The training of the mind to be peaceful, to be aware, and to be silent is very important. Yeah? Because the mind that is trained listens to you. Yeah? When the mind is trained, it can never be heedless. Because this mind that is trained is silent in sati, mindfulness. That's why it has the stability of mindfulness. And the supporting spiritual faculty is your faith, sadha, virya. Mm. Then when you can train this mind to be mindful, you can stabilize it. It is very useful. Yeah? The trained mind is very peaceful, very calm, fully aware within. You want it to be silent, it will just be silent. You want it to be aware, it will just be aware. Then you want it to arise, to live life, to act, you will do just that. So the ultimate meditation is actually in daily life, not really sitting alone. Sitting alone is only useful for you to train your mind. The mind that is heedless needs to be trained. It's like you go to a gym where the conducive environment can help you train. Mm. So if you need a more conducive condition to train your mind, like going to the gym to build up your exercises, your muscle. So meditation is the same. The formal meditation is like more conducive for you to train your mind. Because during this moment, your senses are mostly quiet. They are not active, not so active as in daily life. In daily life, it's more difficult because you have to leave, you have to move, you have to attend to many things. So your senses are open, active. You are in a dynamic state of activity. So to maintain that mind that has this ability to be aware and silent is very difficult. So that's why the real meditation is daily mindfulness. When you can use this mind that is trained, that is in sati, to live your daily life. And when you can be mindful throughout the day, throughout the waking moment initially, then your meditation would have improved a lot. Mm. But if you have not done that, you are still actually quite far behind your training. So whatever it is, be patient, do it diligently, do it sincerely, train your mind to be mindful, peaceful and aware within, then determined to maintain this state of mind, to live your life. There is a very important quality that the Buddha talked about in his teaching. Even before he died, he reminded the monk, his parinibbana. He reminded the monk, he said, you have to strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadita. Means, do not be heedless. Strive on, train your mind to be heedful. So this word heedfulness is very important. Heedfulness got two parts. In order to be heedful, the Buddha said, you need to be aware first, sati. When you have trained your mind to be aware, silent, in sati, and when it's very stable, then you combine this mind to meditate. Then it becomes heedfulness. So, mindfulness developed through the training of the mind to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life, is heedfulness. when you are constantly aware and ever mindful, yeah, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then you have heedfulness. You become heedful. So daily mindfulness is about this stability of mindfulness, to be aware of all of your action and movement in your daily life, so that this will enable you to slow down your thought process, so that you don't think so much. When your mind is anchored to your movement, your kaya, your bodily activity, then this bodily activity or action or movement, or even your breathing, they are always in the moment. So if you can be aware of them, your mind is always within the moment without thought. And that is what sati is all about. So when you can do that, after a while you realize the heedless thinking, the habitual tendency that arise due to the hindrance, they all slowly fade away. Because your spiritual faculty takes over. The moment you have sadha and virya, restlessness will cease to be. Then the moment you have sati, mindfulness, you will not be sleepy anymore. Then the moment you have wisdom developed, you will no longer be deluded, affected by the hindrance. So samadhi is the fourth one. When your mindfulness or sati is very stable, your mind becomes collected, unwavering. Means after that, this mind is so different. You use it to live your life, then you realize every moment of consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, this mind no longer like before reactive. Understand not? It is collected, unwavering. So at the moment of sense experience, there is no wavering at all. That mind is still in samadhi, composed, calm. So it's not affected by sense experience anymore. That's why samadhi is very useful initially. So when there is sati and samadhi, the mind becomes collected. There is clarity. It's not distracted. Sensual desire and ill will cannot arise. And during that moment, you can see things as they are. The clarity will allow you to understand what is going on, allow you to understand the teaching, like the Four Noble Truths. What is suffering? What are the causes behind suffering? How craving come to be? How the mind stir and become reactive? How the mind stir and condition your fear, worry, anxiety and suffering. Then you will also witness all of the mental functioning of your mind. The Buddha call it the dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca samuppada. Upon contact, how consciousness come to be. Then within that consciousness, there is this content of consciousness, which is feeling. That's why contact condition feeling. Feeling is within the content of consciousness. So consciousness must also arise simultaneously. Then how from the pure feeling, due to your ignorance, the lack of wisdom, lack of samadhi, it conditions craving of mind, desire, like and dislike and all those things, fear, worry, anxiety. Then dependent on this craving, it conditions grasping. Then how grasping condition becoming, becoming condition birth, hence arise the whole mess of suffering. That's how you get entangled with situation in life. And all this become very clear after you have trained your mind, after you have developed this meditative mind. Without this training, you are like blind, you cannot see. That's why the Buddha said, living being, without that clarity, without that wisdom, they are deluded. They cannot see the truth, the reality of the form and the mind. they deludedly grasp and cling onto it, thinking that it's real. All of phenomena are like very real. Then they give meaning, they get entangled. Then suffering is the result. So all this come about because the mind failed to understand. So this meditation is very unique. Okay, with that, maybe we will open it up for the second session, which is meditation reporting. Any of you who has any meditation experience to report, you are free to put up your hand and report. Then you can also ask questions after that. Whatever that is related to the meditation or the teaching, or how you can apply what you have learned here, so that it can help you understand life. Okay, anybody? What about those two who are new, Karen and Brother Lee? How you find the meditation? Can you follow? Oh, good. Yes. Oh, okay. If that is the way you understand it, it's also quite good. You know what is relaxed, isn't it? No need to do anything. Just relax. That's all. Like when you're very tired. When you are very tired, you just want to relax. That's all. Not fall asleep. That's all. But the only difference is, in meditation, you relax with awareness. You don't fall asleep. You relax, but you don't think. That's all. Means body relax. Asana. Then the mind also relax. You know how can the mind relax or not? No worry, no anxiety, no stress, no tension. It's a very relaxed mind. Not agitated. That's why relax. No need to worry about anything. But the moment you have worry, it becomes restlessness. It's a hindrance. You are not relaxed. You are full of stress, tension, restlessness. Asana. That is the mind part. But body relax, you know that. Like you're very tired. You want to relax. You just relax. Understand? Means let go of everything. Means no need to hold on to anything. Because you want to relax. So when you want to relax, you won't hold. You just relax. You just breathe normally. But when you are tense, you cannot relax. When you want to focus on something, when you want to do something or concentrate on something, you cannot be relaxed. So that's why this meditation is different. This one is a relaxation meditation. The other one is concentration, focusing a lot, doing a lot of energy. So this one is just relaxed and silent. So physically relaxed, you understand, then mentally relaxed is the same. Then after you are able to relax, you just silent and you see what happened. Your mind is very active. The thought will come. Then a lot of this hindrance will come and disturb you. So just now, were you able to follow the instruction to do the mind sweeping method? If you can, means you become more peaceful very fast. Because your heedless thinking suddenly, like you stop. You don't think anymore. You just feel and relax. Then you radiate metta. You feel the well-being and happiness. That's why you can decondition all those heedless thinking. So it's like you come here to train your mind not to think anymore. Just to relax, recuperate and become peaceful. So that all this calmness energy, loving kindness energy, bring about inner peace and inner well-being. And this is a very therapeutic type of healing. It like allow you to recuperate, like you are going for a deep massage or spa. In the spa and massage, what you do? You just relax. They just do everything for you. So this is a meditative spa, meditative relaxation. So that's why you feel, you relax every part, all your tension, your muscle. Because human beings, they are seldom relaxed. They are very tense and full of stress within. You know how this stress develop or not? You know how? How did it develop? How did the stress develop in the human being? Then you start to think, then you start to worry. That's how it stresses you out. You become restless. You become full of anxiety. Then you worry. So all these are negative energy. That's why it creates stress in you. And not only this, you know, no? Sometimes without problem, you are also very stressed out. Like throughout the day in the office. Of course, even you have problem in the office, you are very, very stressed. Understand? But even without problem, because you got this habitual tendency, certain colleague you don't like, you see only you get angry already. Or you don't like him. So your like and dislike keep on arising. Every time you got this like and dislike, when you know how to meditate, you feel inside, oh, stress like anything. That stress, that aversion, the anger, the hatred is inside the mind state. And there's a lot of stress that come with it. As compared to a mind state that is very wholesome, that is very happy, very peaceful, very calm, very tranquil and very still. There is no stress at all. So when you know how to relax and silence your mind and just aware, then you realize you are so peaceful. You are so beautiful. So why do you want to get angry with people? Why do you want to react to everything that you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile, feel and think? Because habitual tendency. You have craving for good sense experience. The thing that you don't like to see, your aversion, your dislike, or your fear arise straight away. How come you are like that? Because you have not trained your mind. That's why your mind is very vulnerable, very fragile. Sometimes one phone call come, you panic already. Or one bad news come, you totally lost yourself. You like full of worry, fear, anxiety. That's why human being is so fragile, so vulnerable in that sense. Because you are not trained to understand life. You are not trained to handle situation. Handle situation with wisdom and handle situation with that type of determined mind is different, you know. Some people are trained to be tough. Anything happen, they don't want to cry. They keep inside. They try to be tough. They try to maintain composure. This is all suppression, you know. It's not wisdom. But the one with wisdom is different. They can accept whatever that happened. Then there is understanding, there is love. It doesn't have to suppress or do anything. It just understand. Then you just understand. Calm yourself down. Don't become restless. Don't panic. That's why people always advise you, don't panic. Stay peaceful. But you already so agitated, so full of response. How can you be calm? So a lot of people has a lot of fear, a lot of phobia, a lot of what they call anxiety, worry. Because to them, the event that happened has caused them a lot of problem. Understand? The insecurity, the fear, the worry. It can be their loved one, it can be their property, their business, or things that they hold on to dearly, or their relationship. Any of these will afflict the human being. Then your own personal health also same. Your financial situation. Sometimes one phone call come, wow, jump for joy. Like you strike lottery. Or something go your way. Oh, you did very well in your exam. Or your business deal went through. You are going to make a lot of money. So there's a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. But likewise, when the news is negative, you become unhappy, afflicted. So your light and dislike, which is your sensual desire and ill will condition you into the two state of duality. One moment happy, one moment unhappy, one moment jump for joy, one moment panic, worry. So life to you is you oscillate between happiness and sorrow. But you seldom are peaceful, understand? Because when you oscillate between happiness and sorrow, joy or sadness, you are never peaceful, understand? You are agitated both ways. One is the gross happiness, very excited, but it's not a peaceful one, not the one born of wisdom, calmness, joy. When you are very peaceful, very calm, and you have a lot of understanding, there is so much joy to life. You can experience all of the beauty and wonders of joy, and you just smile, and the heart just open up, and there is so much joy, because there is so much understanding. You are not excited. You can be happy, very, very happy. The world is still the world, understand? You can still have good food, good life. But when things don't go your way, you are also peaceful. Understand? You are also not agitated, not affected at all. Then sometimes you like that state, understand? Because it is something that you can learn, like something new, understand? How is it like to feel that way? People feel like panic already, miserable already. But you can still be so peaceful. Understand? Then you can still check and feel. How come your mind state is so different now as compared to last time before you have the Dhamma? You will experience all this. All those who are cultivated, they will know. In the past, when you don't understand all these things, you react like anybody, become miserable. That's how sorrow, lamentation, sadness, depression, very common. Because you can't understand what is going on. But when you start to understand, then you realize, my life, understand? I hold the key to my own life destiny, understand? To be happy or to be miserable is entirely my choice. So I only need to understand life and choose wisely. I choose to be happy, I will be happy. But how come the world is full of unhappy people? Suffering, miserable people. Don't tell me they choose to be miserable. They never choose to be miserable. They become miserable because ignorant. They don't understand this teaching. If they understand this teaching, there is no suffering. The Buddha already said, under the third noble truth, he said, suffering need not be. If you have the understanding and the wisdom, your mind need not have suffering. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So it's your understanding of life. If you understand, your mind is liberated, free. It can accept the reality of the moment. It can be at peace. Anytime, anywhere, any place. But if your mind don't have this understanding and wisdom, then you become vulnerable. You become very fragile, very weak. You have to pray hard that everything go your way. If things don't go your way, you become afflicted. Even everything go your way, finally you need to confront disease, sickness, and death. Understand? Old age, sickness, and death. And this one cannot go away. Understand? It is inherent in this form, this body. This body make our element go the way of nature. you will grow old. When condition is such, you will become disease. Sickness will be the result. Then finally, consciousness was separate from it. Death is a reality. There is physical death, not mental death. There is no such thing as mental death, understand? Because mind is energy, consciousness. And you know consciousness cannot die, understand? But it can separate from this form. Then because this form and mind, this human being, is a condition arising entity, is a combination of condition. The physical body is supported by the consciousness and the life force, your karmic force, pump this heart. That's why this human body animate into a human being. It's like alive. But you cannot see because all these three conditions are inside there, sustaining it. But when you meditate and silent, you can see them all. That any of the conditions cease to be, that phenomena cease to be, then this one can come out consciousness. Before you die also you can come out. So if you have the condition to experience them, then you will understand what is death. Nothing die, no one die. Just consciousness separate. And this consciousness you can come to understand through meditation, because the awareness will allow you to connect inside and understand that nature, that how that nature through the karmic create the form and mind, namarupa, how this entity come to be. Then when you develop the understanding, you realize this one is not you. The so-called human being is not you. You sure very puzzled, how can you say this fellow not me? He has been with me for so long. I want to run, I run, I want to laugh, I laugh, I want to commit suicide also can. Why you say not me? But you check. You go and meditate, you understand it's never you. Because the body is only an element without knowing. How can it be you? The mind part is consciousness. Arise and pass away, arise and pass away. Every moment it pass away, you never die. Understand? So how can it be you? The mind can arise, the feeling aggregate. The feeling come and go, you still around. The feeling is not you. Understand? Then your thought arise and pass away, you still around. Thought is not you. Consciousness arise and pass away, you still around. It's not you. Then who are you? What are you? Go and meditate to find out. And then you no longer deluded. Then you realize there is another nature deep within that never die, the eternal life. Never born, never sick, cannot get old. They call it the eternal nature, your Buddha nature. And that one is different. That one cannot come out and live. That one is not a human being. It's not an entity. Not you. It's a nature. Understand? It's a nature. But that one is very powerful. That's why it needs this form and mind as a vehicle to come to this universe, to experience all of life. Then you use this to live. Now this become your tool, your vehicle to live life. And then when you understand it this way, you become beautiful. You are no longer gullible, no longer deluded. Means I don't have to worry about this body getting old, getting sick and die. It's not me. Oh, but I can use it all to live, to experience all of life. Then my consciousness also, like my thought, I use to live. Understand? The use of thought in this form is very important. Like money, neither good or evil. If the use of money is wholesome because of wisdom, then money becomes wholesome. Understand? So when you use your thought, it's the same. If you don't have wisdom, you use your thought wrongly, then thought becomes evil. Understand? That's why you cause suffering not only to yourself, to others too. That's why you use your thought wrongly. You use your thought to harm yourself and to hurt yourself and to make yourself miserable, fearful, full of stress, sadness, sorrow and lamentation. And yet you blame people outside. But you are using thought to make yourself like that. Then when you speak violently, you use thought to make people angry, unhappy, to hit other people. So when you use thought wrongly, you cannot see. That's why the whole teaching is about right thought, Noble Eightfold Path, how to use thought appropriately. If you use thought with wisdom, then all your thought with right appropriate mental intention become right thought. And right thought are very wholesome, very beautiful. They bring about peace, love, harmony, compassion, honesty, sincerity, gratitude, and respect. Yes or not? Then what about wrong thought? Wrong thought are deluded thought. Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sadness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your depression, your selfishness, your emotional negativity. These are all wrong thought. Now you realize human beings are using their thought wrongly. Understand? Let's say your thought is like a knife. A knife. You know what is a knife? Double-edged. Cut both ways. So you use it to help you shape fruit and cut vegetable and crafting. Then it's very useful. It means you use that knife appropriately, correctly. But you use this knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and harm others and hurt others. It's the wrong way of using this tool. It's foolish, deluded. But precisely, human being is doing this with their thought, you know, not harm themselves, hurt themselves, become so remorseful and so unhappy and so miserable because they think and think and think and become so miserable. So sometimes they get angry at themselves. Why am I so stupid? Why did I allow all this thing to happen? Then they torture themselves. Then after that they want to commit suicide. That's why a lot of depression case with suicidal tendency. Why? Life is so beautiful. Why can't you understand life and live beautifully? Instead, whole life worrying about life and never live. That's not. Your problem is you worry about life. You torture yourself too much. You lack wisdom. To live is very simple. I know I am endowed with a body and a mind, consciousness, to allow me to live, means what? To experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And I just live, means what? I use it to experience life, means silent and be with the moment, silently to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. I don't go and use it to think of the wrong thought, to worry about life, to think of the unhappy thought, to make myself miserable, or to go and project into the future and create fear. This is all not living. This is worrying about life, creating your own suffering and misery. But if you just aware and silent to experience everything, like the Zen, drinking a cup of tea with a silent awareness mind, is Zen, Zazen, meditation. Means what? Within that moment, he is fully aware and he experienced all of life, all of the beauty of that tea, that taste, consciousness, everything. He don't think. No. Then, if you don't think, means he got no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no negativity. He is just peaceful, experiencing life within that moment. That's why he has lived. And that is life. And that is meditation. Fully aware, silent, to experience all of the beauty and what. Because every moment of consciousness can be so meaningful, so beautiful. That's not. If you don't have delusion and craving, all these are possible. But how many of you really do that? You think a lot. To have a cup of tea also, no peace. How your hand goes, so you're not mindful. And how you hold, and how you live, and how you drink, you think a lot. Because your sight, see, think, worry about things, the thought keep on moving. Little like multitasking through heedlessness, understand? You are hardly aware, mindful. You never live. Yeah. That is what this meditation is all about. Understand? Yes.
But I'm going through very difficult times in life now, so my mind is very disturbed and restless. So it's very difficult to focus on meditation. So when to come to help me to like silence my mind, to come up with meditation, or
Okay. Very good question. Okay. Very good question. Okay. Very good question. This is what you must ask, because a lot of people don't understand. Even you go and ask the monk, even you go and ask all the so-called very experienced meditator, they don't know how to deal with this type of question you ask. They only tell you meditate, continue to do this and do that. Then you know. No, like you explain, because listen, her question is very good. Is it? She got a very serious life problem now. There is something bothering her, disturbing her, and she is not peaceful. And she wants to meditate. You ask her to concentrate her mind, silence her mind. She cannot. Very difficult. Then she try various means, on the tape, try to listen. Then when she listen, no matter how she do, the thought will come, understand? The worry will come. Because human beings' problem is attachment to delusion. Understand? You see, I give you this example, you will know. Let's say this is something very hot. Whole glass of hot water. You hold it, what happened? It's burning you, it's tormenting you. Isn't it? What must you do? I just put it down in there. Correct or not? Put it down. Then you relieve, isn't it? No more burning, no more tormenting. Means, as long as I don't hold, understand or not? I am free, understand or not? Your so-called problem is the same, understand or not? This one can free you, really. No need to meditate. But if you meditate, it's to develop the insight, so that it's a permanent fix, understand or not? What I explain to you is through knowledge, but it will help you to fix to a very large extent. But whether you can do it or not, it's another thing. It's just like in life. I debate a bit. Stock market is very simple. Want to make money? Buy low, sell high. You make money. Correct? Or? The theory is very simple. But how come most people lose money? They buy high and sell low. Because they chase the stock through greed. Then out of fear, they sell low. Understand? Or? That's why doing it need wisdom. If you lack wisdom, you cannot do. So my example is the same. Your so-called problem is tormenting you, making you miserable, understand? Then why do you always hold on to it by thinking about it, grasping on it? Wait. Listen. You say it's there. Because to you, it's so real. Correct? Because you cannot understand. I already told him before you came in. If you perceive a life situation with negativity, then it becomes a problem. Then you have fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, lamentation. All this suffering will come. But if you accept that reality for what it is, then you are at peace first, understand not? Means I don't want to fight it, because it happened already. Let's say health problem or financial problem. Happen already. I accept this reality. I don't want to react. Means what? I got no fear, no worry, no anxiety. But the moment I think about it and worry about it, the fear come back. That's why you're not peaceful. It's just like this one. You say this is my problem. You are holding on to this, unwilling to let go. Because you say, my problem, I must solve it. Correct. You must solve it. But not by holding on to it. Understand? Put it down means what? Accept the reality of the moment means so-called problem. If I perceive it negativity and fear, then it become a problem. But if I accept it as a reality of life, because not only you confront this, understand or not, the whole world, every human being, has to confront this first noble truth reality. It can be either health problem, old age sickness, which is not likely, or relationship problem, or financial problem, or career problem, or loved ones problem, your children or whatever. So any of these so-called problem, if you have wisdom, it is just only a reality within life. Means not only I experience them, every living being that live long enough will also experience them. So what is the difference? The one that is deluded will become afflicted, miserable, suffer. The one that have wisdom, that can accept this reality and make a good decision to move on, no more suffering. Means what? I put it down, I don't hold, I don't grasp, I don't cling. I accept this reality first. When I accept means what? I don't blame anybody. Correct not? I don't blame myself, I don't blame others. Understand not? I accept this reality. Then I ask myself a very simple question. What are my options? How can I move to overcome or solve my this so-called problem in inverted comma, amicably, so that I don't hurt others too, so that I don't violate my karma, so that I can have the wisdom to make a good decision and move on. For this, I need clarity of mind. I need to write down all those so-called situations that lead to this problem and how I hold on to it and worry about it that makes me miserable. So if I don't use the self to make it encumber me, understand not? Then I can solve my problem easily. It means I don't make myself involved, understand not? I just ask myself, what are my options? Understand not? Option means what? No more selfishness, no more for me, understand not? If something about my daughter or my children, then I ask myself, their life, let them decide. So that I won't attach to them and worry. But when I am a parent, I play my role as a parent. Understand not? Let's say health problem, your own one. Understand not? Health problem means what? The doctor diagnosed, let's say, very severe, stage 4 cancer. Then he tell you 3 months, 6 months. Or tell me 3 months, 6 months. I got two options. Understand not? One, worry about it and become miserable, which most human beings do. Understand not? The second thing is, I accept the reality. Well, bios is confirmed. Understand not? If I want a second opinion, I go for a second opinion. If it's confirmed, then it becomes a fact. Understand not? And once it becomes a fact, I tell myself, at least I still got 3 months. Well, I perceive it with wholesomeness. Well, this is a reality. Death must happen. But if you have developed the wisdom before this happens, it's better still. Because this is not me. Understand not? Nothing die. Understand not? Consciousness has to separate form and mind, karma, everything. Not so real, empty. I do what I must do. Means I act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. I have right view with regards to law of karma. Everything is karmic. Understand not? I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned and supported by my karma. I am what I am because of my karma. So whatever that caused this is has a lot to do with my past. So if I want to have good life in the future, if I don't want to have all this, then I must take care of karma, understand not? But the past, I cannot change, understand not? If the condition is like that, I will be afflicted. But last time when I do to people, I don't know. Understand? Especially divorce case, understand not? Or separation case. So when you have that understanding, at least now you know, you cannot blame anybody for what happened. It's all karmic. Very likely now I become the victim. Well, last time I become the aggressor, the person who caused this. Understand? Then now karma come back, I reap what I sow, I become the victim. People do it to me, I become miserable. Asana. But if I have wisdom to accept that it is due to karma, then I become at peace. I will ask for forgiveness. Asana. Then I will meditate, develop all the wholesomeness, keep my precepts, share merit, transfer merit, then invoke the power of merits to help me come out of this situation so that all this can be resolved amicably, so that my life can move on, understand? So that I can have the good life, so that I don't have to get myself trapped and entangled within, understand? And that is understanding wisdom. Means I deal with a problem, I don't worry about the problem, understand? And how to deal with the problem is very simple. Right? Just ask yourself, what are my options? If I need to see a doctor, I talk to the doctor. What are my options? Of course, he will suggest you have to go through chemo or what, but the chance is what? It's okay, understand? Then you go for a second opinion. Then you go into the internet or ask your friend, anybody who has got people who has come out of this. And then you listen to what they are able to suggest to you. And then you make a choice, then you try. But if you are a person who has a lot of understanding, you don't have to do anything. Your life is within the moment. 3 months is still good enough. Even 1 day is still good enough. Understand? You don't have to worry about, my children are still so small. I still haven't done up my will. I have not finished my ambition. All this is a thought projection, make you miserable. Understand? If you want to do, do. Do it now. Need to travel. Travel during that time is the best. Though. Money to you no more meaning. Eh? Why you want to leave behind so much? Spend, use. Donate. Then pamper yourself a little bit. 3 months is already good time. Don't go and worry even during your last 3 months. That is understanding life. When you understand, you always live. You don't worry. So whatever it is, you identify it out. Then if you want me to help you, we can have a separate private section. Then you tell me your problem, then I teach you how to come out of it. It's very easy. You see, there is nothing to do with right or wrong, correct or not correct, because my answer will not let you understand. What you need is yourself must understand how you can come out of it. Because when you already worry, the hindrance are there. You cannot meditate. So the Buddha said to meditate, you must be able to let all this down. Forget about your problem. It's never a problem. Because now you understand. If I develop this meditation, the understanding will free me. So I have a solution. I only need to trust this solution. Means I just cultivate my spiritual faculty. But can you do that? Human being cannot. Because the problem they always hold. Means what? Hold through the thought. They always recall. Even you sit here, you will recall. Why? Because you don't have this dhamma, this understanding. This is what the Buddha called attachment, clinging, grasping. The thought grasps, cling, hold, and worry. Why do you want to worry? Why do you want to do that? That's happened already. The past is already gone. That reality I accept. I'm not going to deny. The so-called problem is still there. Understand? I have to resolve it only through an understanding. That's it. I make a decision and I move. That's it. I don't want to hold on to the problem and worry about it by not making a decision. And then, you got no life. Human being problem is they never solve their problem. They worry about their problem. And that fear, worry, anxiety make them miserable. That's how you can see the stress in your face. Yeah, very severe stress. But it's okay, we are human beings, all go through. And you need this to have the condition to come and listen to the Dhamma. You have that book, Buddha in Champa. You have to read a bit. You have this one or not? This is about meditation. Later on it will help you. Initially is you have to have some form of understanding of the teaching. Because like I said just now, all this that I said is not written in the book one, I tell you. But it can help you on your life. You decide whether to be happy or to be unhappy. You have a choice there. Why don't choose wisely to be happy? And to be happy is very simple, the Buddha said. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. You heard of 1 and 2? It's inside the word of wisdom by the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is the twin verse. The Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. Good or bad, it will happen. So if you don't take care of mind, he said, because it's so important, if you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, means you didn't take care of this mind, you didn't train this mind, then this mind will arise all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that will condition the mental hindrance to make you miserable. So the Buddha said, such a being, suffering will follow them, like the wheel that follow the hood. Understand? That's why you become miserable. You suffer. But if you want to be happy, very easy, is it? The second verse, which is a twin verse, complementary, talks about the opposite. He said again, our mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. Where mind arises, everything comes to be. So if I understand this, I will be very careful about this mind there. So if I were to pay attention to this mind, train this mind and develop the awareness, the heedfulness, so that I can be very mindful of my action, speech and thought. The Buddha said, if you were to act, speak and think with a heedful mind, with a trained mind that has the awareness to see your mental intention behind all your action, speech and thought, then you arise the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then right effort to promote the right thought, right speech. Right? And then happiness will follow you. Just like your shadow that never leaves you. Because when you do that, there is no more evil root, no more greed, no more hatred, no more delusion. Understand? And this is so simple. But to train your mind to have the mindfulness is the beginning of meditation. When you are able to see that, then when you are able to see your mental intention, then when you apply Noble Eightfold Path, means all of your thought become right thought. Like just now I said, right thought are wholesome thought, beautiful thought that leads to love, peace, harmony, respect, gratitude, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. Understand? No more negativity. No more fear, worry, anxiety. No more sorrow, eliminate. But these are all wrong thoughts. Why do you want to think the wrong thought? Like using thought wrongly to make yourself miserable. You use thought appropriately to make yourself beautiful. Understand? So that you are a real human being. Understand? That's why you speak gently, pleasantly, with understanding, with kindness, with pleasantness, with gentleness. Then your speech become very, very beautiful. Understand? That there is love. There is harmony. There is peace within that relationship. But if you keep on getting angry, speak harshly, then accusing people, say all those hurtful words, these are all wrong speech. Understand? And what are wrong speech? Speech that condition your anger, your hatred, your negativity, your evil roots. They are the roots of all evil. No? Every time you are selfish, you are angry, and you are fearful, they are called evil roots. No? Roots of all evil, they make you very evil. No? When you are selfish, you hit out at people. You don't feel for people. You simply say things that hurt people. Then you become angry, emotional, violent. That's why they are evil. Out of fear, you react like anything. That's why it's called evil root or three poison. It will kill you. So you understand this already. You must train your mind to develop this mindfulness, heedfulness. That's why I say After that, use it in your daily life to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Means from right view with regards to law of karma, how your mind functions, law of the mind, then you mindfully aware of your mental intention to arise the right thought. No more negativity, no more wrong thought. Then right speech, right action, right life. And when you live your life like that, you become beautiful. There is a lot of happiness, there is a lot of joy. Then you can confront life, you can face life, no problem. Understand? Where you are incapable of negativity. And that part needs understanding to do. Otherwise, the mind is like that, deluded. It always worry, because you call it a problem. You perceive it in negativity. Nothing is a problem. Everything is just reality, the fact of life. That's why the first noble truth, instead of calling it the noble truth of suffering, I always call it the reality of life and existence. Because these are life, reality, and existence. The eight conditions that the Buddha talked about. Human being, no matter how rich, wealthy, powerful you are, you have to confront them. And without wisdom, you also suffer. And these are reality of life, like birth, old age, sickness, and death. Everybody is subject to it. Correct or not? You live long enough. So you must have the wisdom to confront them when the time comes. Understand or not? Otherwise, you become miserable. Then the fifth one is separation from loved one. Now, this is relationship failure. Understand or not? Or sometimes due to accident, death, nature's disaster, then there is separation. Then separation from the things you hold on to dearly, your wealth, your possession, your money, your business, your career, or your reputation. And this is another form of condition that can make living being afflicted, miserable. Then the sixth one is when you are with people whom you don't like. Then the seventh one is when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, it causes suffering and misery. You expect to be promoted, didn't come, somebody else yet. You expect your loved ones to understand you, to love you, but they, according to you, they never do. Because this is what your thought tells you, understand? So in short, the Buddha said, he can summarize all of this so-called reality as the final first noble truth. He said, in short, it's due to your own delusion, inability to understand who you are, what you are, that condition you to grasp and cling onto this fine aggregate of form and mind, that condition your craving that make you suffer and miserable. Craving is the cause of suffering. Craving is your desire. Understand? No? Your wanting. Understand? You wanting your way. Just like your problem. You don't want it to happen that way. Understand? When you cannot get what you want, suffering is the result. Because you have your views and opinion of things. It must be like that. Otherwise, you don't agree. That's why you are stressed up. You are unhappy. Then you are fearful. The body goes the way of nature, but say, no, I don't want to die. Understand? I don't want to get sick, I don't want to get old. Where for such thing? My loved one must not die, must not get sick, must not get old. There is no such thing. Where the form is the form, it goes the way of nature. You have to understand, then work towards it, and develop the wisdom to make the appropriate decision and move. Do not hold on to things and worry about things. Then you cannot move. Decision is very important. Decision must come from the clear mind, clarity. Then when you have a clarity of mind, you can weigh your option. You can ask yourself, what are my options? How can I resolve this amicably so that nobody gets hurt? Understand? So that life can still go on. So that there is still harmony. There is still love. There is still meaning to life. Relationships are still preserved. There can be divorce or separation, but you still maintain your amicable relationship. Understand not? We are no longer husband and wife. So what? But the children, you are still the father. He is still the mother. Understand not? So you still got a responsibility, yes or not? Yes, we are officially separated, or that was so on. That fact we can accept, yes or not? But the truth is, you are the biological mother, you are the biological father, yes or not? We still got a duty towards the child, yes or not? So that we resolve this amicably. We don't argue about it, we don't hate each other. But we make a decision to move on. Yes or not? Then there is no more suffering. Ah, she is here. Very good for you, this one. Jasmine, yeah, now I remember. Because life is like that. You don't go and worry about it, think and get angry and emotional about it. Understand? Until you are full of fear, and that fear will torment you. And she suffered before. She went through very severe too. But she came out of it. And she can slowly understand. Because this is a reality. Because we attach, that's why we can get into trouble. If I don't attach, no problem. If somebody else's children, no problem. Or somebody else's problem, not your problem. You're not affected in that. The analogy I used to give is the neighbor's car, new car, let's say, very nice car. You love so much, you just bought. Second day, the wife reversed, bang, bam. You as a neighbor, you saw, you laugh, you go in and tell your wife, oh, your neighbor's sway. You can still laugh. No? You know, your car, the neighbor curse and swear. No? What the hell are you trying to do? I just bought, I haven't even test drive. You already go and bang my car. Understand? But what is happening in that case? The reality is happened already. Why you want to scold your wife and make her miserable? You think she like purposely go and create accident? So you must understand whatever that happened already happened. Don't go and cry over it, get angry over it. Anger is an evil root. Then you will do all those stupid things. Understand? Then your wife also become miserable. Then you got phobia. Next time you don't want to drive your car. You say, I never want to touch your car anymore. That angry word come out. Understand? Instead of telling the wife, don't worry, honey. It's okay. We got insurance. I tell you, oh, I ever love you so much. Understand? Oh, you go and tell the neighbor or the good friend, my husband never even say a word of anger. Never even scold me. Someone tell me it's okay. Like my mother, you know. About 21 years ago, my son got a compound fracture. She was helping me to look after my son, my two kids. Then one day, my son fell from the walker, tried to learn how to walk because my house is a split level. He got so excited, pew, went through the split level, pow, then compound fracture. My mother panicked. Oh, my wife came back. Cry. We got whole thing compound fracture. I was in KL. My wife called me. But I was so surprised. For the first time, my heart was so peaceful. I said, it's okay, don't worry. I said, don't panic. I said, you can drive or not. Go to my classmate. The clinic is nearby. See my classmate. I will meet you there. Understand? No? The reality happened already. Worry also no use. Go also no use. So when I reached the hospital, I saw, then I talked to my classmate, compound fracture must send immediately. So we sent to UH specialist. Then they did the x-ray and do what we have to do. Then after that, my mother keep on wanting to apologize to me. I said, it's okay, don't worry. You already helped me so much, look after my kid. I said, nothing to do with you. Then he said, no, I didn't take care. I should have stopped him. All this is already the past, no more reality. Don't worry, I say, I know what is happening. I say, even let's say, you really forgot to close the gate. Let's say I have a gate, you forgot. So what? That is the reality, happened already. And I said, you are my mom, no? Understand? No? I should appreciate the trouble and the time you have given me to help me look after my children. I'm so happy. So whatever happened is coming, understand? No? Because he has to endure that. So after that, my mother was so happy. He go and tell all the good old lady friend that he has. He said, my son never even say any words of anger or unhappiness. Never even blame me or scold me. And she herself say out to her all her friend. That's why I overheard it. And I knew This is what Dhamma is all about. Asana, why you want to scold? Why you want to get angry? It's an evil root. It makes you very evil. Never do that. No matter what happened in life, don't panic. Don't become fearful. Don't become unhappy. Asana, whenever you are not happy and peaceful, you are suffering. The evil roots are there. You are using wrong thought. You don't have noble evil path anymore. So you just meditate to understand all this. Your life becomes beautiful. Of course, you need wisdom to really fix it permanently. And so, but at least with this understanding, you go and listen to the tape recording again. It will help you in many ways. At least at the mundane level, to sort things out. Understand? Okay, we better stop. tonight, do we have anything? This one is old one, Ah, yes. There is a good news, Sian said. This Elaine Tan, going through chemo, looks like very severe, a lot of side effects every day. Then last Thursday, we did the one for her. You know what happened, huh? Suyan say, the mother say, she was discharged already, recovering very well. And I told Suyan that night, there was some special condition. And I don't know what happened. Suddenly one energy came. Then I knew I have to do something. That's why I read it. I asked you all to send to. Then when I did, I knew something will happen. But I didn't know it can be so effective. It just get discharged. Because her case, lymphoma, is very difficult. Very, very difficult. So anyway, we all should rejoice. Thank you for all your help. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Transform merits. Then after that, maybe you. Yes. Oh, I didn't read. Metta, 5-year-old son, Adrian Lee. He is hospitalized for 2 consecutive rounds. First for flu, then for another rare viral fever due to low immunity. Mother is now staying day and night with him at the hospital. I appreciate that our Dhamma friends to share their merits for speedy recovery. Relative now, daughter also admitted to Tawaka Hospital for continuous fever. Her name is Nicole Lee. So 2 persons, One is what? Adrian Lee. Adrian Lee is for the flu, The other one is high fever. Okay. The high fever one is quite easy. Never mind, the viral fever, the high fever, when you go to hospital, they know what to do. They will sponge the kid, then they will put something in the backside there. The temperature will come down straight away. Because, you know what happened or not? My son, when he was about 7 or 8 years old, you know what is photophobia or not? Photophobia. Oh, I was at my classmate's house. We were actually playing mahjong. Then the children were playing. Then he got a slight fever. That's why when he got slight fever, you have to be careful. Your children is still young. He suddenly stopped and looked at the fluorescent light. Then he totally lost consciousness. And you know what happened? Luckily, my wife was very alert. He saw something wrong. Then he called him, didn't respond. Then suddenly he tried to bite his own tongue. Then my wife put her hand in. Or bite until my wife's hand was quite painful. Then called me. Then I came, I got key. My this old fashioned key, one very big one. I took the key out and put it inside there. Then with my hand also inside there. So not so painful. Then immediately we go to hospital. We were in Charasano, this Lady Templar Hospital. The doctor there very good. I immediately called up my two doctor friends, but they were very kind. One of them, middle of the night, came. The other one, next morning, came. He said, don't worry, this type of thing very simple. The doctor know what to do. But we were lucky, you know, the fever fit. The doctor say, you hope for the best, because sometimes the brain may get damaged, understand or not, if it's temperature too high. But managed to bring in time and the temperature lower. Then next morning, first thing, my wife was so worried whether he recognized us or not. Then when he start to recognize us, then we know it's okay. So you have to be careful. Life is like that. But there is no fear, no sorrow, no lamentation. You just have to accept the reality. That's why during that time, I just understood the Dhamma. And because of that, it helped me so much. No need to panic, worry for what, scold people for what. No need. Do what you have to do in life and move on. Okay, we will do the, maybe we help these two persons first. Adrian Lee and what? Nico. Nico what? Nico. Oh, never mind, Nico. Adrian Lee and Nico. Okay, we shall now recall to mind all of the wholesomeness, all of the Dhamma sharing, our rejoicing, strengthening of the view, our keeping of the precept, our meditative training, our puja, where we develop all the spiritual faculty, the wholesomeness of mind and merits. By the power of this wholesomeness and merits, we bring forth the causes and conditions to help our two little friends. One of them is Adrian Lee and the other one is Nicole, to recover from their present disease or sickness condition, which is the very rare type of viral flu and fever. And may there be causes and conditions for both of them to recover to good health soon, so that they can be with their parents and their family soon as possible. Okay, we can have a moment of metta, 1 minute or so. You silence your mind, then you read it, metta, to them. Both Adrian Lee and Nicole. I will ring the bell after about 1 minute. Okay, we will do it now. Okay, thank you so much for your help. Okay, we will share merits with the devas. Then after that, we share merits with all the departed ones. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika ปุญญังตังอนโมทิตวาจิรังรักขันตุโลกัสสะสนะ May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation.Itta vata cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transform merits to departed ones and those who can receive them.Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for our nation.Devo vasato kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Ipina punyang kamena.Mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.